I think that's the worst thing you can do as an actor. Me personally, I just think like when you think too much about what you're doing, because then you're not in the moment. That's why I mess, because I just don't want to think about what I'm doing. Right. So that when I'm there, I'm listening to the person and reacting to what they're giving me.
Yeah.
Like I've already done the work, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Hello, you're very welcome to another episode of F&I Rap Chat. That's going on at the moment with F&I and the podcast. Delighted to announce that we have Larry McGowan, who is coming on board to edit and do some kind of post-production on the podcast. And we're absolutely delighted to have him on board. We had Sai doing some of our editing and post work before, and he has had to go back to India. So a huge thanks to him for all the work that he's put in over the last year. We all do this for free. It's very much a volunteer thing, and anything that we do get from sponsorship, it all goes back into the podcast and trying to make it better. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do so at buymeacoffee.com/FNI. So yeah, a huge welcome to Larry, to the team. Delighted to have him on board. He's an old friend of mine from my college days. So yeah, very excited about the next year and just trying to make the podcast better and keep delivering the content that's useful for filmmakers in Ireland and afar. So yeah, we had had a chance to sit down with Jemalia Devereaux, an amazing actor who is doing so well at the moment, and her film The Bright Side, feature film, is I think you might still catch it in some cinemas. If not, we will let you know about further releases as we get the information. I got to see herself this last week. We had Claire Dunn on the podcast, but I think it was about a year or two ago. It was before, maybe 2 years ago, before the lockdown, when they were kind of getting ready to release herself, and then obviously got pushed back. And we had an amazing chat with Claire about how that film came into existence, and it was great to finally see it. So the story behind the film is a great story, and then the film itself is really powerful. And there's quite a lot of screenings of that still going on, so I would definitely recommend trying to catch both of those films. And what else? We have other news. The IFI DocFest is on coming this week, so we have a lot of content coming down the line for that. They're supporting us and sending directors to talk to us, which is very exciting. As you know, I am a huge fan of documentary, and this is like Christmas for me, getting to see all these great documentaries and chat to the filmmakers. So keep an eye over the next couple of days. We'll have some of that content for you guys. So for now, let's go to Jemalia Devereaux.
Come on, Sissy That Pod, let's get sickening!
Are you a fan of the Emmy Award-winning show RuPaul's Drag Race?
Do you think about Roxy Andrews at the bus stop?
And do you belong in Party City?
Well, Sissy That Pod is the podcast for you. Join me, James, and my co-host, Keen.
Is there something on my face?
As we chat weekly about the runway realness, sickening shade, and backstage buffoonery.
That's right, whether it's new episodes of Drag Race US, UK, or All Stars, Sissy That Pod will spill the tea with a new episode for you within 24 hours.
So make good choices and subscribe to Sissy That Pod from the Head Stuff Podcast Network, and we'll leave you gagging on our eleganza.
Now, let the music play!
Jemalia Devereaux, how are you doing?
I am very good. How are you? Hello.
So the life of an actor is fairly mad. Generally, has the last 2 years been particularly strange and weird, or?
The last 2 years, are you talking about COVID? Are you talking about work? Because I worked a lot during COVID. I've been very blessed, actually. Because COVID hit in February. No, March. Was it March? Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah, it was about March.
What year we're in anymore. It's like, and we'd been, I was filming Smother, actually. I was playing Anna in Smother. And then after 5 weeks of filming, we got shut down for 5 months. And then I always knew I was coming back to that. So I was like going back to that. And then we got locked down again, didn't we?
Yeah.
But then we went back and did season two, which I just kind of wrapped on recently. Yeah, so it's kind of, I've been quite lucky in that sense that I have been working. It's kind of eased the pain of COVID.
I think Smother was like the first or one of the first kind of test cases where they kept going. And
made it work.
Right. Yeah.
You were getting tested all the time. You were in bubbles. And then we were kind of our own little community, which is really weird. But like, I mean, I've worked with loads of people before, so it was quite fun actually to be in La Hinch of all places, which is where we were filming. Which I love La Hinch. Have you been to La Hinch?
It's
so beautiful. It's so amazing. So I was doing sea swims every day and then going to work. It basically was like the idyllic life that you want, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, go to work, act, do the thing you love, and then go home and hang out with like your best mates, basically, because Shauna was there as well. So I was like hanging out with her all the time and going swimming. So it's brilliant, yeah.
Shauna Kerslake.
Yeah, Shauna Kerslake, yeah. Sorry, yeah. But no. Yeah, so just hanging out and just getting to know everyone on the crew and the cast. And it was a great, you know, but obviously we had to be very careful and everyone was very particular about that. And it was very, you know, you were getting tested and getting things shoved up your nose.
Yeah.
Every week, which was fun.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose you're just used to all those now, all the precautions and all.
Yeah, and that you would take, you know, you'd have your mask on, you take it off when they were saying, you know, when they were going for a take, then you'd put it back on, and the crew, all the crew was constantly masked up. It was more the actors that weren't, because we were kind of in our own bubble and we obviously have to be able to, you know, interact with each other really closely, you know, so, but yeah, I was quite used to it. So I think I'll be, but lots of people aren't used to it. I mean, the sets now, people are, I know my friend's on a set at the moment and she was saying the main guy hasn't worked at all since, you know, COVID, because I was just lucky the way I got a gig that was, you know, that was what happened. And I think he's quite particular. She was saying he doesn't know where the mask is coming from, but all of a sudden it ends up on his face very quickly. And, you know, right. So he's very good.
you split your time kind of between London and here. How do you manage that?
I moved over to London when I was younger and I kind of always lived there. And then I came back because I got my first kind of film role, which was Stitches. So I came back and I stayed here for a bit. And then the factory at the time, which was like the Factory Actors Studio, started. And I got invited into that, which is like kind of working with, you know, John Carney, Lance Daly, Shimmy Marcus, and Kirsten Sheridan. And you got directed every week with scenes, basically. So then I ended up kind of coming back for that, actually. And kind of doing that for a while. And then I went back. I don't know. I always end up just going back between both. I just love both cities. I wish they both were kind of one place, to be honest. That's never going to happen.
A super city.
Well, a super city.
Yeah.
It's just like, because I was just in London there. And I mean, there's just such vibrance and there's so much culture and there's so much to do. You're never bored. There's always, you know.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Ireland has the sea and it has the people and the different, the, you know, and it's my home, I suppose. So it's just two different things.
But harder to just make it if you're just working here as an actor, right?
I don't know. There's so much work in Ireland, though, isn't there? I suppose I don't ever want to only work in Ireland. I suppose that's the thing. I always want to be doing different accents, different things, different characters from different places. So, I mean, there's that. But I don't think, because of COVID, and I think it was kind of happening already with the whole self-tape thing, that there was, like, the auditions were becoming less and less that you went into places, or where you would do a tape and it would be, you know, second round, they would be like, oh, we want to meet you because they've already watched all the tapes. And because of COVID now, it's all Zoom. So I don't necessarily think you need to be anywhere anymore to do anything.
And is it kind of good riddance to all that? Is it? Or
good riddance. Good riddance. good riddance what? On doing self-tapes?
On doing, like, actually having to go in and meet people. Or do you think there's something missed, like, when you don't see? Because I know for pitching projects, you want to be in the room to kind of gauge what they're, you know, what the feeling of the person on the other end is. I don't know if it's the same for actors. Would you rather just do a load of self-tapes
and then just like chuck them off and then like hopefully one will come back? I had only a conversation about this with Amy Rowan, actually, the casting director, and we were both kind of debating it because she really, obviously as a casting director, really misses people coming in and being face to face, and misses kind of, she thinks there's definitely you're missing something. You don't see someone's energy when you see a tape. I would be kind of on the whole thing of, like, I find auditions a very weird environment. I don't think they're set up to make you do very well, really. You kind of have to go in and be Gemalia, which, you know, I would rather be doing a character with the script. So it's like, hi, I'm Gemalia. And you're like, meeting people, and then you sit down and you're told to do these two scenes really quickly, and you have to be really good at them. And if you, you know, mess up a line, there's just a lot of pressure. And then you normally do like two takes of it, and they're like, yeah, grand, cool. And then you're gone, and it just kind of goes really quickly. Well, I feel fine with the self-tape. You can sit there, you can read the script, you can learn the lines, you can take your time with it. I always do my self-tapes on my own, actually. So I just sit there and I have all the time I want. I'm not pressured with trying to work with people, because I know most people do them with people, but I don't. I never have. I just get people to record lines for me, and then I sit on my own and do them. Because it's just less pressure. I'm not very good with pressure. And I'm even realizing that with sets as well. Like, if there's loads of pressure and people are like, we need to get this take, I just can't deal with it.
Okay.
So, and I just find, yeah, and then you do the self-tape and you do it, and then you send it off. And then I also think they see your work, you know. Like, I sometimes feel if you meet people, this is just me, this is my opinion, I don't know, I think loads of people love going into the room, and it's not that I don't like going into the room, but I feel like even with your accent, unless you have to do an accent, I think they find it quite hard to go past that, do you know. So I feel like when you just send something off and you're doing an accent, they just see you doing what you're going to do, you know.
Okay, yeah, you know? That's interesting.
Yeah. And then they go, oh, we don't like that, we're not going to meet you. Right. Or they say, we want to meet you, you know, and then you meet them, and then fair enough, it's a bit more of like a relaxed thing, because you already know they like what you're doing. Do you know the kind of way you're not really second guessing what you're doing? But I find it's all just a bit like when you meet people and it's 15 minutes and you know.
Yeah. Because I have heard that in England that Irish actors can struggle with the accent thing, that they don't like people putting on accents. I don't know if you've encountered that.
What do you mean? Like, you're not getting roles with accents?
Yeah.
All right. No, thankfully I haven't had that. But I do think, like, I do it myself. Like, if I was meeting somebody and they were like, hey, where are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then they started doing, it's kind of hard to jar yourself away from, it's like when you see any, like, really big actor and they're doing something different and you know the way they are normally, it's kind of hard to jar yourself away. So I haven't found that. But I do think, of course, like, a lot of times when there's English roles, they want to cast English actors. It's kind of the way they want to cast Irish actors, as Irish, you know, that's that thing. So it's trying to get out of the box, I think, of playing any character.
Yeah, really. I think we're more obsessed with, I think English and Irish, we're kind of obsessed with accents in a way that Americans aren't, because they don't really have, as many. You can go a thousand miles. Like,
they have a lot of accents in there. Although it's always standard American. It's like when they say Southern Irish for a while, they're like Southern Irish, Northern Irish. You're like, there's so many different accents in there. Like,
If you go 10 miles here and there's a different accent. I actually had this argument with your brother-in-law, Dara. He disagrees with me.
That there's not loads of different accents. There is loads of different accents in America, no?
I think they all sound.
That is why you're not an actor. It all sounds the same.
Like, there's a YouTube video of like the 50 American accents, and it's like someone from each state doing, and they're pretty much, except for like Massachusetts and New York, they're pretty much
New York, all Massachusetts, California. Texas.
And
LA has a certain drawl to it. I don't know.
There's,
I think if you really listen to it, though, I mean, I'm gonna side with Dara on this. I think
I'm not saying like there are only six accents
in the whole of America. That's it, six, and you literally, and they don't even do that. Actually, they just say like they do actually just do Southern, probably New York is its own thing, but it's just standard American or Southern,
right?
Yeah. That's all they do when they ask you for an accent. You're like, where is this based? Can I look at this? But
I mean, there's weird ones. There are ones like the Baltimore one's weird. And the,
I love the Baltimore. I feel like you're already changing your stance. I feel like you actually realise there's loads of accents. You're like, oh no, what have I done? Take upwards.
The same thing happened when I had the argument with Darren, and I forgot that.
And now you're like, Darren will be very happy about this, actually. Go on. Go on.
Yeah. What was the thing actually with Kate Winslet recently, was that was a Pennsylvania accent.
Pennsylvania accent, yeah, what that she did in the Eastern Maritime. I loved that.
Did you like that? So good.
So good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She's fab. And also just the fact that she's just, I think she was saying something about the fact that she had sex scenes or something. And they were going to try and like, I don't know, what were they going to do with her? Like, great. Did you hear about that? Like,
no.
That they were going to like try and make her look more attractive or something. And she was like, no, don't. Like, this is the way I look.
Yeah.
And this is for this, you know, this is this character. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not playing yourself, which I always will agree with everything. It's like, not you, so do what you want. With me. Which sounds quite weird, actually. Anyway, you know what I mean.
I know.
The commitment of the role.
Yeah. Because like, it feels like there wasn't like a big show like that everybody watched for a good while, but that seems to be the one now that everyone's like, oh yeah, that's a good, like, there just seems to be.
Which one? Mare of Easttown?
Yeah. In terms of that kind of like series, it's kind of died off a little bit, where there was like, for a while it was like, constant.
Everyone was telling to watch. It was a really good cast as well, though, wasn't it? I loved it.
Mm.
I just think it's HBO, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hobo, I always say. I want to be on Hobo so much. Hobo do great things. They're just fantastic. Like, everything they do is just, like, pretty much pristine, I always think, with, like, acting, the way it's shot. Although I didn't see Your Honor was the other one, wasn't it, that came out around the same time?
Yeah, I missed that.
I missed that. No, I watched the first episode. Jesus.
Right.
My God, the first bit is so intense for, like, the first 20. Yeah, for the first 25 minutes, you kind of can't breathe. But, like, and you go, like, what great filmmaking. It's very good.
Yeah. So when did you realise you wanted to be an actor?
An actor or an actress. I get given when you say actress. I always wanted to be an actor. I never wanted to be anything else. It's really weird. When I was a kid, I just wanted to be an actor.
Yeah.
And I've never wanted to do anything else. When I was in school, I found school really boring because I knew I was never going to use any of it.
Right.
English, yes. Like, I liked English.
Yeah, yeah.
And Shakespeare and stuff.
Yeah.
I loved art and stuff, but I just found it really boring. And I found the narrow-mindedness of everyone quite... I think it's definitely changed. Like, nowadays, it's a bit more okay to say that you want to be an actor, and it's seen more as, like, a career, especially because I think film and TV, especially in Ireland, has become so big.
Yeah.
But when I was saying it years ago, and even then, you know, it's not that long ago, people were very much like, oh, yeah. And even you meet people still and they're like, oh, you're still doing the acting thing. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but it's very infuriating.
Totally. Yeah.
So infuriating. Are you still doing the... that's great. You know what I mean? You're like, oh. But that was the way it was. It was always like, I always said to my teachers that I wanted to be an actor, and they were like, oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. And I always wanted to go to London. I was always going to go to London and go to drama school. That was always my plan, because that was kind of what you did. I don't necessarily think I would do that again, actually, but
right.
I think that was kind of something you did. And people still do it. It's not that, but I think I've learned so much more being on sets, actually, to be honest. That's the best place to learn, really.
Right.
But I was always doing that. So, yeah, so I did. So, yeah, that's, yeah, I never wanted to be anything else.
Where did
long-winded
you
answer there,
no,
didn't
no,
I?
No, good, yeah, yeah. yeah, because... It's always different, but like a lot of actors seem to have it in them and they know. And there's something I'd say, because I was saying I always wanted to be a filmmaker, never wanted to be anything else. And
you're still doing the filming thing?
I'm still doing the filming thing, yeah.
Hanging in there.
Yeah, it'll work out someday.
That's good. Well done. Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like, yeah, it's, I don't know, there's something very nice about that, the straight line that you never wanted
that
to.
You gunned for anything else. I mean, there is, it's funny because there's so many people that I know that don't know what they want to do, and in some ways I find that really interesting, because like, who knows what they're going to do, and half the time they're doing courses and they're doing different things, and it's like, you know, well, I've always gunned for, you know, I've been always very determined about what I wanted to do and kind of straight line down the road of it. But and yeah, I mean, just being, I've always just found interesting being different people, which I mean, I think I've said that before, that I've always kind of love being different people more probably than myself. That sounds really depressing, but like, it's kind of more interesting to, I always think it's like someone telling you a problem, you know, and you give them advice about their life, you know, like when you're jumping into a character, you're kind of in that away from your life and you're in this whole different, and it's kind of like understanding people. I love people. So I just always find it really interesting doing that.
So you'd be a people watcher.
People watcher. That sounds so weird. Yeah, I'm people watcher. I sit there just watching people. I just think I'm quite observant of people. I think it's definitely, even as I've gotten older and the more I've done it, the more, you know, when people do things, and it's also about me understanding myself as well. You know, the more you understand about yourself, the more you kind of see things you do yourself. But I just find people fascinating. Fascinating.
And when you're, what's your method? Like, when you're, do you do a lot of research, or is that, because every actor seems to have different ideas about it.
Oh, what are the other actors do? What are the actors? Tell me now. I do loads of research. Depends on what the role is, of course. Like, I think I normally, like, what I would normally do on a normal thing, obviously, is, do loads of research. Obviously, I don't know, I was saying this to you before we started this, but whenever I get a character, this has happened kind of lately, like a voice comes out of me, and then I end up kind of working on that. I don't know why that is, but I'll read a script and something will come out of me, and then I'll kind of start building on that. And I always make a book. I always have a book for every character I've ever done. So I have a book, which I'm really particular about. Like, I'll go into, you know, town or something, and I have to get the book because I know it's always with me. So I get really particular. So I'll buy the book, which is just like a notepad, and my whole script's in it, and all my notes are in it, and then all my character notes are in it, and everything. It's like a big... It normally ends up being like a big wad, like a big thick wad. I have it with me on set the whole time. And I get quite, it's so weird, like, because it's not, I always know my lines. It's never like I don't know my lines. It's the same with when I've done stage. It's like I have this weird thing, same with, I always have a book.
Yeah.
I need to kind of have it. And it's like, even with sides, like even with Mother, I'd be like, And I know them. It's just like a weird, I think it's like a safety net. I don't know. I think I've heard like actors do it, like have that thing before. But like when I have my book, if I can't find it, I'm like, where is it? And everyone's like, by then everyone knows that I have this book. So they're like trying to find it. And I'll always just be flighty with it. But so I made it, make a book, and then I have it. And I'm able to kind of know where I am with scenes and break scenes down. But to be honest as well, most of the time I mess the whole time on set. That's kind of my method as well. I mess all the time.
Do you enjoy being on set?
I love being on set. It's my favourite. I love being on set. And I love working with actors. I think actors are honestly amazing, amazing people. And filmmakers. Like, I'm filmmakers. I love crew. Crew's always great as well. Like, you know, I don't know. I have so much fun on set. But I mess the whole time on set because I've always done my work. This is my method. Anyway, I've always done my work before I go to set. And then when I go, I have to mess. Because if I think about what I'm doing, I think I'll seize up and not be in it. Because if you really think about what you're doing, you're like, you're filming this, it's going to be this scene, you know, then loads of people are going to watch it. I think my head just starts going. So what I do is just completely mess loads before they say take, like, action. And then I just go into the character and try and be in the moment as much as I can. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just try to be as truthful and as in the moment as I can be and then not think about what I'm doing, really.
And sometimes, like, you might have a very short amount of time, like when you're doing, is that very hard or is that easier?
Those kind of stuff. What do you mean, like,
where maybe it's like a couple of days on set rather than having the whole, is it easy, is it, you're kind of parachuting in, is that difficult?
You mean when you're not in every day, when you mean?
Yeah,
I like, to be honest, I've been very lucky so far in the things that I actually haven't, I don't, you know, I mean, of course, it's mother, you would have a few days off, but you were doing it for like 3 months, you know. Right, a lot of the things I've done, I'm in a lot, but I have done that before, and it is quite hard to kind of come in. You mean if you're doing like a day or something?
Yeah,
it is quite hard. I think it's more hard as well because you want, I don't know, it's all about, to me, getting energy with the other person as well. Do you know what I mean? That you're doing scenes with. And a lot of the time, well, one, actors work completely differently. Yeah. Like Tom von Lawler, for instance, I've worked with him twice, and he's like the most lovely, beautiful person, and he's so gentle, but he very much stays, he's quite serious and he stays kind of in what he's doing, which is great, like, and you know, but my method obviously is to try and talk to him a mess and just like not think about what we're doing, and then we go into it and like, and kind of like connect with him then, you know what I mean? And I think because I did Citizen Lane with him where I played his sister, and he was kind of head honcho on that.
Yeah, did you like it?
I was like his sister in that, but he was the head honcho on that, and it was, you know, I was coming to set only probably for a few days, that kind of thing. So I couldn't really poke him as much, but then what we did, poke him sounds really weird, but you know, I couldn't be like annoying him to, you know. And then we did The Bright Side, I was the head honcho, and I was like, no, you have to talk to me because we're supposed to, because we're together, and you know, we have to have this like energy. And I think the more you get to know somebody, it just makes it a lot easier, basically. You know, it makes it a lot easier to connect with them.
Brightside is still in some cinemas at the moment, so we'll be encouraging people to go along. So that was a really big one.
I mean, the thing is, I've been a lead, I'm always kind of like the lead girl in the films I've done, and then I've done a kind of a lead before with Dahmer Killing, but The Brightside was like a script that I just, you know, I absolutely, as soon as I read it, I was just like, I have to do this part. It was like, it was just, and like shaving the head and everything. It's just like, everything with it was just like, I have to do it. So I sent a tape in. I wasn't, like, Ruth didn't want me. Like, she'll openly say that. She just had no, she had no interest.
Right.
She wanted someone older. And, you know, she just didn't think I was right for it. And she, you know, and I've even seen the list that she had. I'm like, for God's sake. But Amy Rowan, who loves my work, she wanted me to come in. So they sent the tape in, and then Ruth very much said, actually, as soon as she saw the tape, she kind of felt like that I was right. And then I met her twice more. But I think by the third time, I was getting really frustrated. I was like, I've done everything. I just need this role. Like, I just needed it so much. Which I haven't gone for a role as hard. I just knew, I don't know, I'm just really proud of it. Like, I'm really proud of the film, and I'm really, it pushed me and showed a lot of what I can do, which is kind of what I've been hungry to do for ages, you know.
Yeah.
There's not many roles that do that. Like, it really shows a lot.
So
and then the third meeting, they offered me the part, and I was crying myself. But then I was like, oh God, I have to do it. Like, I do every time. I go in for the parts, and then I have to do them. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know? But yeah, you've seen it, have you?
I haven't, unfortunately, I haven't seen it.
Oh my God.
But I did. I sent my parents to see it when they were up, and they loved it. Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, they thought it was amazing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I will. Sorry. Jesus, I've just been, I've moved house, and I'm
here. All these excuses here. Don't mind him. He's please.
Because I want to go see these films in the cinema. I don't want to get a screener and watch it. You know,
I know. Yeah. It's really magical being back in the cinema as well. Like, it's something you kind of forget. And also because I've seen it on the screener, I obviously saw it, and then it went to Cork. So I saw it again. Like, I've seen it so many times at this point. But when you see it in the cinema, it just makes it so much more intense. It made everything, I don't know, it just made, it connected it so much more than it even was, you know, when you watch it on your laptop. Like, it doesn't, I mean, yeah. Look, what can you do if you have to watch it on your laptop? It's fine. And it's still, I'm still really proud of it. But the cinema kind of made it, amped it.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially me shaving my head.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, this is it growing back.
This is me. that there is it. Yeah, it was funny because I always change my hair for everything, for roles. I just, and I also was, you know, for that, you had to shave your head. And I was I thought it was a very good role to shave your head for. Everyone keeps going on about the shaving the head thing, like that it was brave and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's not real. And it was fantastic. I would say to anybody to shave their head, like, in the morning. It's amazing to do. And it was really, and helped me as well for the character, because I felt, you know, I looked, like, really sick and tired by the end of the shoot anyway. And so it helped, you know, it helped me. And I was living with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was funny. So this is it growing back. Yeah, but before, when I did Liza Minnelli, I had a wig on. And I had long hair with that was happening.
Right.
And then I had a wig on for that. And then I think I cut it up. And then I think it was blonde or something for Broken Law. And then I think it went back dark, shaved it, and then did Smother, and that was it going back. It was like a turn-up-y. I always say it's like the turn-up hairstyle. It was like a very, it was like a Lego brick. That was it going back. So this is it. But then that's the thing, Smother, we did Smother. So everyone obviously just thinks I have short hair, but it's not. It's like Liza was a wig.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we did Smother, then we cut, obviously they broke for 5 months. So I had 5 months growth. It was like down to here. And they're like, oh, no, we need to cut that back up there now.
All right, okay.
I was like, back to the turn of hairstyle, back up it goes. My hair does change. If you really watch Smother, it does change quite a lot. But yeah, it's growing out. I mean, to be fair, I only cut it up a while ago, so I did actually keep it short. But yeah, and what about my hair?
What was that like, Liza Minnelli? Like, someone who's so kind of iconic. How was that? How do you get into a role like that?
The process of that, yeah, it's very different to the process of, well, my process for it anyway, is very different to the process of a normal thing. And it was kind of like Citizen Lane, to be fair. Citizen Lane is also a biop, so it's like you're playing someone real. So you do the research, but it's not as like, when I think of Liza Minnelli, like I have like Liza Minnelli in my head. Like I think of like a certain voice, I think of a movement. And I think everyone does, I think, because she's such an icon. In a way, she's an icon, it's like so iconic. So, I mean, at the time I was watching this Judy Garland, I always watch these Discovering films because I'm a nerd over breakfast. And I was watching this Judy Garland one when I got the call and did it. And they were like, oh my God, you got Liza Minnelli. I was like, oh my God. And I think then I just was like going into so much research. Just was like constantly looking at her, trying to see, you know, but also it's pinpointing at a point in time because where it is in the film is pre-Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she kind of changed during Cabaret. You know, she kind of became a bit more of a woman. She was quite, you know, it's just a different kind of thing. So I was trying to like make sure that was all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, just loads of research like in a completely different way than normally that you're building a character. You can kind of do what you want. And you can kind of see different ticks you want to give them or make them move in a certain way. You can't do that. It's a lot more restricting. But then it's also quite exciting because you're trying to do something a certain way. I don't know. Yeah. I liked it. Like, I'd love to do another buy-up, like I have to say. I want to make a number three.
Right.
Or like, of where I'm more like, because like Liza's as well, like I'm not in the film a lot. You know, it's all about Judy. It's all about Judy Garland, which Renee is like amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to do another. I think it's a really interesting process, I have to say.
Yeah. Is there any types of characters that you
that I'd want to do? Should that be talent? It's so funny, even when I shaved my head, I was like, Sinead O'Connor. If there's a biop of Sinead O'Connor, I need to do Sinead O'Connor.
Have you read her book? Eating cakes now.
No, I haven't. You know, I have not. Have you read it?
I just finished it last night.
Did you?
Actually,
I heard it's absolutely amazing.
It's, like, what she does is she kind of writes, like, she's in the moment, so if she's writing about her childhood, she is a 5-year-old girl telling you what happened.
What do you mean she's in the moment? Like, she writes it like,
like, it's like she's describing it like it's just happened kind of thing.
It's
really unusual.
It's
like, when you're reading it first, it's kind of hard to get your head around a little bit,
and you get used to it.
It's not like any other autobiography I've ever read.
I do really want to read it. I heard it's great.
She is fascinating.
I mean, I think when I shaved my head, I was like, this will be great now. Everyone can see what I look like this. I'd have to stop eating all the biscuits, but I mean, I'd be happy to do it. She's so great though. But yeah, no, I don't know. There's so many people. There's so many people out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many, and there's so many people talking about biops, like Jussie Springfield and it's the girl from the Cranberries, Dolores O'Riordan, like there's so many things, like I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I would love if something came along, but I'll send it out to the universe and it'll come back in its own way.
Have you seen, do you think there's like more and more interesting, like female, like do you think it's gotten better since when you first started?
Yeah, without doubt, absolutely. Like, I think people are being more braver as well, about women showing the kind of flaws of, you know, and it always was kind of very two-dimensional, wasn't it? I don't know. I feel like it's, and I think there's more roles as well, though. I think, like, I always used to think I didn't want to be a guy, but I always, like, God, it'd be so much easier if you were a guy, because there's so many male roles out there.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, one woman, you know, and it's not a very interesting woman, and she's kind of just there to, like, snatch around.
She's talking about a man, Bechdel test.
Yes. She's there. You know, I don't know. So yeah, I do think there's so many more interesting, and I just think in general there's so, I think it's just such a great time to be in the film and TV industry. There's just so many interesting, everyone's just so much more braver about everything, I think, all the stories that they tell. But yeah, I definitely think there's more female parts and more female roles, which is amazing.
Have you kind of encountered a directing style that you really like, or is there types of directors that you like? Or?
That's like a fairy. Who's listening to this? don't do that on set. Not really. To me, the best directors are you know, the actors, directors, because you can play around with shots and, you know, and to be honest, everything on set is so important. I'm not saying that, like, everything is, and that's why I really respect everyone's job. But I think there's certain directors can really care about what it looks like or what it's doing, and then kind of ignore, you know, the main thing. I mean, at the end of the day, if the two people aren't doing good acting, you might as well be looking at a painting that's not moving, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So actors, directors, but I've been really blessed, actually. A lot, like, most of the directors I've worked with are very actor orientated. They talk about it loads. They kind of, you feel like you're very safe with them. They kind of protect you on set. They let you kind of go to the places that you need to get to. So I think, like, just once it's an open set.
Do you find the higher the budget, the more the director can be an actor's director, or is that not really the case?
I don't know if that's the case. Like,
yeah.
Because having been on, you know, big things and small things, I don't think that's the case. I think it can happen. I've been on small things, and some directors don't seem to care about the actors at all. And they're like, you're there to do a job.
Right.
And I've employed you to do that job, and you just go do that there now. And I'm going to worry. I've got other things to do. Like, I had a director tell me before that he was like, that's not, when you come to set, you're the last thing I want to worry about. You're the last thing I want to worry about. Like, I shouldn't have to. I have other things. When I'm on set, I have other things to be worried about. And to me, like, that's just mental. Like,
right,
and okay. he's quite a, yeah. So, I mean, loads of directors are like that.
Yeah.
So it's great when you get an actor director. Like, Ruth, for instance, in The Bride's Eye, like, completely has my back through the whole thing, and was just completely, and it was like so much talking about it, and so, you know, if there was anything, and was always very open as well to me trying things. Like, I mean, I love trying things. I love getting direction. I'm very good with direction, and I love, like, trying new things. And I think anybody I've worked with, you know, have been very open to me trying things, which is great. And then, you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but then you do another take, you know. It's not like theatre, so you can do what you want, right?
Yeah. And have you ever given it a go yourself, or would you like to try directing?
Yeah. I would like to try directing, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think my first love is always going to be acting, but I would like to, yeah, I definitely would. I mean, me and John Connors have been writing something together. We kind of said that we wanted to, we did a feature, so we wrote a feature together, and then we have a short, actually, that we wrote that he said he wants me to direct, but anyway, who knows. But and I've kind of gotten into writing over lockdown. I've been kind of doing a bit of writing myself, because I've been doing that with him already, and I kind of learned a lot. So then I was on my own. I was like, why not try it? I had an idea. So yeah, I definitely, like, the future's open. I definitely want to do that. But I think my first love will always be acting, because I just love being different. But I think it would be great to, like, be the man of the ship, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like being able to kind of see, and then pushing it towards a certain direction. Yeah. I think actors are great, so it'd be cool to be on the other side kind of working with them.
Yeah. I suppose, it might even, like, it would help you, like, as an actor, like, you know, seeing what you can get out of people and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think, but also I think, like, there's so many, like, Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Michaela Cole and all these people making these amazing series and you know, directing or producing, and I don't know, it's a great time, I think, as a female to be doing stuff like that as well and trying new things. And I mean, I always think as well that people are so hard and people aren't they, you know, you see a film from a director, who was I talking about? Maybe I shouldn't be naming names, but anyway, he's done loads of stuff, and then there was one film that's, like, really bad.
Right.
And it's like, no one ever seems to give people the second chance. They're like, oh no, that's it now, you know. And I just feel like, you've one life, why not try it all? And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, you know, if it sticks, it sticks. You know what I mean? I'm very kind of like, I'd rather be brave about my choices with work in general. Like, if it's acting or it's whatever I want to try,
yeah,
then not do it at all, you know, and try and play it safe. Like, and that's the thing, even about roles. I just don't want to, ever be pigeonholed at all. And I constantly just, I even said that a while ago to a producer. I was like, if there's anything you see that you're bringing in and you think like I wouldn't be right for it, can you just like send it to me?
Really?
Yeah. Because I just think it's yeah. much more interesting to be yeah, really, yeah. I don't want to be,
yeah.
I don't want to be typecast, and I don't want to really be near myself. I want to be other people, you know, I want to be delving into a completely different world.
Yeah.
It's like, and building and creating. That's yeah, like yeah. the most fun process.
That's cool. I don't know if you heard the Jodie Foster thing where she got her agent to, so roles that were meant to be men. She would kind of get her.
Yeah. Have you ever done that though? When you look at like screenplay, like it's amazing when yeah. you change a man's. Because I think we'd even did that in the factory when they had scenes and it was yeah. two guys. But it's there's so much. They're just so like, especially oh, just like not nowadays, but like the scripts a while ago. Like the men's parts are great. Like
yeah, yeah
and you're
yeah.
like, if this was a woman, you yeah, know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I'd always
written so you're like, yeah. oh, that's the line I want. And then the girl yeah. comes in and you're like, I don't want that line. I want the man's line.
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, because I write as well and. A lot of times it is kind of default and you'll just have like a male character and then I always try and go, what if I flip it? And it's pretty much always more interesting.
When you flip it, that's yeah. really interesting. Yeah. Right? Okay, with your writing, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good note.
Yeah.
I remember that. Although I'm female, so maybe I'm writing it differently than you anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And writing's such a weird thing as well because I think because I'm an actor and I improvise, I don't know if I just think of things like, I don't know how you find writing. Like, do you find it
I'm easy trying to think, write it? Yeah, like yeah. I didn't grow up kind of in the acting world, and it's one of my maybe regrets that I didn't do a bit more acting.
Oh, fab.
To work to be more of an actor's director. So
there's I'm trying always to, time. By yeah, the way. There is like yeah. so much time.
Yeah, and I try to just like I think by hanging out with more actors, like it's just one of those things. Like when you're coming up, it's so hard to get funding. So like the last drama thing I did was years ago because I. Just haven't got funding for anything, kind of documentaries kind of yes. taken over, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like that muscle that you want to keep, like when you're working with actors and hanging out. Like, I just think it's the thing that I've learned, and I've kind of gone to a couple of classes, and so I'm trying to get my head more into acting and that. And it's just like it's something that I maybe would have been flippant about when I was starting out, was kind of the vulnerability. Of that actors actually have on set.
Yeah.
Would you find, like, I just, yeah. once I got my head into that, I was like, holy shit, like, what you guys do is kind of amazing. Like,
thank you.
I mean, especially like something like Brightside, like, you know, incredibly vulnerable, I suppose.
In every aspect, yeah. Yeah. It's pretty hard, yeah. I find as well acting such a healing thing. It's like, you know, you go to places that you normally don't go to, and in a way, you're in a character. I feel like. That's why, with press and all of this, I mean, it's not that I don't like doing it, but I would rather, you know, I just find myself more comfortable with the character because in a way it's like a mask, it's like a shield. And I think it's the same with emotions. Like, you can go to places that you wouldn't let yourself go to when you're in a character. Hmm. But it can really mess you up, you know, like the Brightside right. stage with me for like 2-3 weeks afterwards, you know, like the last thing we shot was this massive fight that I had and the things I even said in it were just so venomous and I couldn't stop crying and they said rap, but they were like, that's a rap, and everyone was like hugging and, you know, laughing and I was crying, I just couldn't stop crying, and they thought it was because I was really upset that we were like ending, like, you yeah, know, I was like yeah, happy yeah. upset, and I was like yeah, no yeah. I'm just completely messed up, like, just get away from me, everyone. Like, it's like, so it can be very, it's like, it's a really, it is, you know, being an actor is, you do push yourself and you're trying to express yourself and trying to, it can be very vulnerable, but I think that's why I love it, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a risk taking, isn't it? It's like pushing yourself to places that you haven't been. So.
Yeah. And like, is it something, you know, people need to be a bit more aware of as well, in terms of like looking after your mental health as an actor?
As an actor. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. I think sometimes it can become quite flippant sometimes on set. Like, you know, people don't really, they're like, oh yeah. And they see someone crying. You know, it takes a lot to do that, you know.
Yeah.
It takes, although some people don't. I know a girl who can. She's amazing. Like, I literally wish I could do what she does. She literally breathes a bit and, like, doesn't think of anything and then can just make herself cry. Like, I have to put myself in a really dark place to be able to work myself up to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I suppose. But I think, you know what? I think everyone respects each other. You know, you respect the DOP, you respect the focus puller. I mean, the focus puller is, Jesus, fair play to all focus pullers. That's such a hard job.
Yeah.
It's like the same as the actor. If there's any problem, it's either the actor's fault because they forgot the light, or the focus. There's no one else they can blame. Like, everyone else, they can be like, oh, the light wasn't right, or the shot wasn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I respect everyone's job, but I think it's good for everyone to kind of keep that in mind, especially like the crew as well, and everyone to keep each other safe, I suppose. Yeah. It's keep each other safe.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's a confusing thing, because actors, it's like you have to hold two things in your head. It's like they're incredibly confident, like it's such a rare thing to be able to actually do it. And it's like, even just being like, it should be easy to just look like a natural human being on camera, but for some reason it's the hardest thing. Do you know what I mean?
It's really hard, but it's also like people start saying, and I've even had actors now, to be fair, who think a lot, and I think there are people who think too much when they're doing, that's the thing, like I think that's the worst thing you can do as an actor. Me personally, I just think like when you think too much about what you're doing, because then you're not in the moment. That's why I mess, because I just don't want to think about what I'm doing, right. So that when I'm there, I'm listening to the person and reacting to what they're giving me.
Yeah,
like I've already done the work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I've had actors and people in general who've tried acting being like, what do you ever think about your hands? Like, what are you doing with you? Like, I don't know what I'm doing with my hands. And it's so funny because you can do that, right? When you start thinking about like, what way am I standing? Like, it becomes really weird. Like, weird things come out of you. What am I doing with my mouth? Like, I don't know. So I tend not to do that. But yeah, but it is like, it's to be just a normal human being and say things really naturally and make them sound, not make them sound, like make them come from like a thought that has gone in your head as the character and make them come out. It is quite difficult.
Yeah. Have you got anything exciting coming up?
That would be telling. I can't tell you. I can't. So, yes, I do, but I can't. I shall not be showing my cards.
Okay. But we'll be seeing plenty more of Gemma Leah Devereaux, yeah?
Yes, Gemma Leah Devereaux. Yes, hopefully, yeah. Yeah, you will be, yeah. Life is long as well, so I'm thinking you should definitely get back to the acting and do it as well.
Yeah.
There's so much in life to achieve, right? So.
Yeah. I will. I should. I've enjoyed it. I'm not very good, but...
It's not the point, though, is it? It's more like about understanding. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, no, there'll be things coming up, and it's just a really exciting time at the moment. So yeah, I'm very excited.
We always kind of ask a question: Is there a piece of advice you would give to the younger Gemma Leah at a certain age?
This, I knew you asked this, and I still do not know what I would have told myself.
Well, so if someone is starting out now, or even.
I don't know. Do you know what? I just think the main thing for me is just believe in yourself and just don't listen to anybody. Actually, just don't listen to anybody.
Yeah.
I think I've always done that anyway, but if I was giving advice to other people, probably that. I mean, you could go over things and be like, you shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done this, but I wouldn't be the person I am if I hadn't done all those things. So
yeah.
I don't really like have believe in regrets. And I think, maybe to my younger self, just... Yeah, don't listen to... I don't think I ever have. So I don't know. Just to everyone coming up, just don't ever
So if you had told that to yourself, you wouldn't have listened then.
I probably wouldn't have listened anyway. What are you talking? Yeah, exactly. Touché. But yeah, I think people coming up, just don't listen and just, you know, keep going and...
It's a long road.
Life is such a long road, and things happen in life as well that you never will think. That's the thing. Life surprises you. I mean, as they say, God laughs at plans, and I think that's so true.
Yeah.
But everything always comes back. I feel like everything... As frustrated as I've been so many times in my life with rejections of certain roles and, you know, it's always worked out better than I didn't do them. There's always like a funny plan.
Right.
And even with the bright side, I feel like this role, I wouldn't have, there was other roles that I've gone up for, and Ruth even said after casting me, it's like, I wouldn't have cast you in this had you been in this. And it was so funny at the time, I really want them. And when I look back, I'm like, this is the only thing. So it's weird the way it all works.
Yeah.
So I suppose just believe in, I mean, what I tell my younger self would probably just believe in the path that's there. It's there.
Yeah.
You know.
Cool. Thanks very much.
It's okay. Thank you so much for having me.